Good morning. What a pleasant announcement and a pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
It always starts with one. Congratulations to the blessed couple. We're going to have a word from God today. And it's already been prayed for, so we're just going to jump straight into the word. The title of the message this morning is Prepping for the Project. Prepping for the Project. I don't know how many of us see ourselves as a project. Probably not that many. We like to think of ourselves as complete, a finished product. That we have arrived, that we have accomplished whatever we have. But I don't think we become complete until at some point we enter the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until then, we are at some stage or some phase of the project of God that we are. We are all in various stages of this project that began when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now that's very important to remember. That means if you're here this morning and have not yet accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you are still a valuable piece of raw material. But the project has not yet begun on you. Okay? Let me repeat this. We are all in various stages of this project that began when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That means if you're here this morning and have not yet accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, you are still a valuable piece of raw material, but the project has not yet begun on you. The good news is that God can change that before you leave here today. Amen? God can change that and start his work on you today before you leave this place. Isaiah chapter number 64 and verse 8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you our potter. And we and all we are the work of your hand. We're in our Sunday morning workout this morning. People kept talking about the potter and the clay. I said, don't tell me they looked at my message. Isn't that how the Spirit of God works? You are our Father, we are the clay, and you are the potter. And we are all the work of your hand. Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 4 through 6. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. So get this picture. The potter has this clay on the wheel, and I think all of us have seen a pottery or worked on pottery, and it's turning, and he's shaping and molding. And at some point, he found out that it's not quite shaping up into the way or form or shape or design that he had in mind. So what does he do? Crumbles it and starts all over again. Hallelujah. Verse 5, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, I cannot do with you as this potter. Can I not do with you as this potter? Says the Lord. Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. O house of Israel. You see, the clay has no desires of its own. It has no mind to do what it wants to do. It's totally subject to the will and desire of the potter to shape it and make it into what he or she desires. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we are his workmanship. Okay, we are his project. He's working on us. And we were created or recreated when we got born again, right? In Christ Jesus, for what? For good works. Because God has prepared us and saved us and called us not for bad things, not for evil, right? For good works that he has ordained from the beginning of time. He prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, the passage says. The same verse out of the Message Bible says no. And for those Bible scholars here, this verse just comes after Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace we are saved, and not by ourselves, is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And then we'll come into verse 10. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. I chuckle every time I hear a self-made, whatever, fill in the blank, self-made millionaire, self-made this, that. No. You didn't do it by yourself. We neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does, the good work he has gotten ready for us to do. And I like this part. Work we had better be doing. Work we had better be doing. We go through many stages of our project with God, working on us according to his divine plan that was crafted before the beginning of time. Let that sink in for a little bit. God crafted his design and his plan for each and every one of our lives as individuals from the beginning of time. God takes us through different stages of life while he is working on us. Some of those stages may be uncomfortable. Some may be painful. Some may be sorrowful. Some may be discouraging, and some may be disappointing. On the flip side, some of those stages may also be filled with joy and fulfillment. The secret to enduring all the different phases of our project is to realize, first of all, that we are a work in process. Okay, we are a work in process. That God is a master craftsman who knows exactly what he is doing, and that he loves us unconditionally and always has our best interests at heart. Okay? God is a master craftsman because we are a work in progress. He knows exactly what he's doing. He loves us unconditionally and always has our best interests at heart. And the main thing to remember is that we always come out the best at the end. That's a good thing to know. That's a comforting thought this morning. that no matter what life seems like around me today, I know that if I hold on to the everlasting arms of my Lord and Savior, that victory is always at the end. We are assured of victory at the end. Amen? No matter what darts the enemy throws our way, no matter how the world and the culture tries to drag us down, God is always on our side. And my scripture tells me that he's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's everywhere that I am. There is nowhere I can go that I can escape from his presence. Sometimes we try to, right? Sometimes we want him to leave us alone. Just give me a little chance to have whatever it is. But he loves us too much. And he realizes the importance and the precious nature of this project that he's working on. And that too much depends on us becoming a complete work. That he sticks with it. And sticks with us. And continues to mold us. To shape us. And to make us into what he's called us to be. Now, one of the things to remember is that God's project on you will probably be different from his project on me. He had to throw that clay off the wheel many times with me. Let's try this again. This isn't working. But some projects are pretty straightforward. You put the clay on the wheel and it comes out into this beautiful creation, this beautiful object. No resistance, no hurdles. And then some projects are way more complicated. You see, shaping a clay on the wheel, it seems to be a pretty simple project, especially if you know what you're doing. It would be very complicated if I were trying to do it. But picture a project of constructing a building, a home, a house. That's a very complicated project. Yeah, some stuff got to be cut. You got all those boards and things you got to cut and imperfections you got to fix and stuff got to be nailed. Oh, we don't like that nailing and cutting part. But all those become necessary in order to come up with this beautiful building. Yes, the nailing can be painful, but it's necessary. Yes, the cutting can be downright painful. Nasty. But it's necessary in the hand of the master craftsman if we are to emerge with this beautiful building that he envisioned us becoming and being even before the beginning of time. So some of us look around us and say, gee, why is my project so complicated? Why can't I be like X? Well, before you start asking to be like X, make sure you know what phases of his or her own project X has gone through. when you're looking at him and her today, they may already have gone through that cutting and pruning and sawing and nailing phase. And it's just repainting and finishing. Yes, each and every one of us is unique in what God has gifted us with and what he's called us to do for his purpose. And the sooner we realize that and realize what he's doing with us, I think the easier it becomes to endure some of the stuff that we find ourselves battling on a daily basis. Amen? Thank you. We're going to look at one of the characters. One of the things I like about the Word of God is that it's filled with imperfect people like me. And one of my favorite characters, there's a couple of them, David is one of them, because he was such an interesting character. But I also like the story of Joseph in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis. And it's too long for us to read everything, but I'm just going to read some selected verses beginning in Genesis chapter 37, beginning at verses 3 through 5. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he also made him a tunic, some translations say coat, of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. Now we ask ourselves, why would, and I struggle over this, because he was a son of his old age. It tells us that Jacob, who his name became Israel, loved Joseph more than all his children because he was a son of his old age. He also knew that his destiny was different. And so there was a project that God had for him that required some special stuff. And then he did something that wasn't all that smart. He had a dream, and the dream was that all his brothers would be bowing down to him. And then he told them this dream. And so, needless to say, they didn't like him. Excuse me. In that same chapter, verses 18 through 21. Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, "Look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. Verse 24, then they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. Verse 28, then Midianite traders passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. So they didn't like him. Well, one, he was a favorite of their dad. And secondly, he had this dream that they were all going to bow down to him and serve him, and he told them the dream. So they really wanted to kill him. But then there was an intervention from their brother Reuben that said, let's just put him in this pit, and that's good. And then the traders passed by, and they sold him, and they took him to Egypt. Now, I've read this passage many times. But then, studying for this message, it just hit me, the parallel between Joseph's life as a person who was being set up to be a savior for the nation, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Who is the Savior of all mankind. That he was actually put into a pit while he was alive. Well, Jesus was dead when they put him in the grave. But I couldn't help but think of the parallel. So Joseph was sold, was purchased and taken to Egypt. We fast forward to chapter 39, verses 1 through 3. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. You see, no matter what situation you find yourself in life, whether you are a slave, whether you are a beggar, whether you are a carpenter, or whether you are a king, once God has his hand on you and is working on you, shaping you and perfecting you and taking you through the stages to accomplish what he has for you to accomplish, you can't help but shine and prosper. Amen? You can't help but shine and prosper, not because of anything that's good about you, but because God has his hand and his favor upon you. Amen. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. We drop down to verse 20 through 22 of that same chapter. Now, before we read that, one thing to remember is that when God is working on us, there's also people and powers that don't want us to become that perfect project that God is working on. Amen? There's always resistance to the plans and the purposes of God for our lives. And so Joseph was prospering. His master loved him. He was doing well. But then the master's wife had other ideas. And she concocted a scheme to lie on him when he had refused to sin against his master by sleeping with her. So now we drop to 20 to 22 of chapter 39. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the prison. 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. Are we beginning to see a pattern here? Even in the prison, God had his hands on him. It says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. Why? Because he did not even deserve being where he was. Being in there was just part of the project that God was working on in his life. Amen? Sometimes we like to think that it's all about us. Why is this happening to me? Why am I going through what I'm going through? Why does nothing seem to be going right? And we need to remember, we're just at that stage of the project. And that God knows exactly what he's doing. Excuse me. While he was in the prison, two of the king's servants had dreams. And nobody knew what those dreams meant. Well, they told Joseph the dreams, and he interpreted the dreams and told them exactly what would happen. Unfortunately, the outcome was good for one of them and bad for one of them. One of them was going to be restored to his position, and the other one was going to be killed. So we go down to verse 40, chapter 40, verses 14 through 15. But, and it's Joseph speaking, but remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me, make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon. The one that was going to be the chief butler is who he was talking to. And then verse 23 tells us, yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. It's all part of the project. Some of those that we show kindness to, that we give kind words to, that we may even every now and then do something good for, they may not necessarily pay us or show us something good in return. We need to remember that it's all part of the project. It's all part of God's preparation, preparing us for what he has us for us to do. So it took 2 years while Joseph languished in the prison. And then Pharaoh had a dream that troubled him. And of course, nobody could interpret it. None of his magicians and all his people could interpret it. So then the chief butler remembered what happened while he was in the prison 2 years earlier and said, I know somebody who can do it because he did it before and it happened. So they brought Joseph out of the prison to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh asked him. But I like what Joseph said in chapter 41 and verse 16. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. You see, I'm just a vessel. I'm just a work in progress. I'm just a servant that God is working on to accomplish his purposes through me. So whatever glory should come belongs to God. Amen? Whatever thanks and appreciation should come belongs to God, because he is my source. In my own strength, I can do nothing. In my own wisdom, I can do nothing. It all comes from him. 41, we drop down to verses 38 through 41. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this? A man in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Now we read these words, and it's hard to comprehend how completely ridiculous, outside of the majesty of God, that something like this would occur. That someone would be sold as a slave from a foreign land and end up becoming the second in command in a strange land. Only because God was weaving and working on this project. Only by the power of God that's possible. And now we come to the conclusion, kind of. We drop down to verse 45. But before we read now, Joseph, the dreams that he interpreted for Pharaoh was that there would be 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of lack of zero, nothing, no harvest, no crop, no nothing. And so Pharaoh was supposed to store up during the 7 years of plenty and prepare for the 7 years of lack. And it was because he said that, and he told Pharaoh to find somebody, and Pharaoh said, well, you know, I don't see anybody else but you. And so it happened exactly like he said. And the scripture says that the famine covered the whole earth. It was not just in Egypt. And when his brothers who had sold him heard that there was food in Egypt, they came. And everyone had to go to. And, of course, they didn't recognize him, because nothing could be more ridiculous than for them to think that he would be in such a position, right? But he's speaking here in verse 45, and we're going to read verse 5 and then go to 7 and 8. And there's Joseph speaking, but now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. Verse 7, and God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now, it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. So you see, God had a great purpose in mind, for which he had to take Joseph and the family all through these different stages and phases of the project, to the end that his people would be preserved and delivered. What a beautiful account. So I'm going to leave you with this morning. Sometimes when we're going through the stages of our project, there are certain things I want us to keep in mind. Number one, God may be preventing you from something. God may be preventing you from something. Joseph may have thought when he got thrown into the pit that it was a terrible thing to happen to him. Amen? But God had him thrown into the pit in order to preserve his life and prevent him from being killed. So sometimes we think that what we're going through is the worst thing. Oh, I'm suffering, I'm doing this, I gotta endure all this. But if we have the mindset that we are a work in progress and God is working on us, we need to stop and think sometimes maybe he's preventing something else from happening. Yes, I really wanted to go to that concert in Seattle, but my car broke down. Yes, maybe it's better that you're here that weekend, because you never know what's going to happen on the roads. So sometimes he's lovingly nudging us in a different direction and preventing us from falling into some trap that the enemy has placed before us that we can't see, but that he knows all about. So when we want to go this way, most of the time he gently nudges us. Sometimes he uses a little more force than that when we become too hard-headed and aren't listening. But most of the time, he gently nudges us in a different direction because he's preventing us from something. Number two, a lot of times, he's preparing us for something. Oh, and that preparation can be hard. The carpenters, they say, measure twice and cut once, right? Those of you who like to cook and follow the recipes, the preparation part can be so tough. Got to follow all these directions and do all this stuff. And then you got to go into that heat. But don't we love the taste when it comes out? Those cheesy potatoes. Sometimes God is taking us through stuff because he's preparing us for some challenge or some opposition or just something that he has planned for us to do for his glory. And if we're not properly prepared, then we can't face the challenges when they come. Amen? That's why we don't just start school and go to college. You start from elementary school and go to middle school and go to high school and then go to college. Because you're preparing yourself for greater challenges and opportunities. And that's the same preparation project that God takes us through. Unfortunately, in the culture in which we live, where everything has to be instant and drive through, we don't like that preparation part. No. Want to get on? I remember in our church back in Africa, I mean, some folks got saved and went to a six-month Bible class, and they were ready to open their own church right away. What a disaster that would be. No, God doesn't work that way. He wants us to be prepared for what he has us to do. So he's either preventing you from something, he's preparing you for something. Third one, he's proving you in something. See, sometimes he doesn't prevent us. He lets us go through it. But he's proving us. He didn't prevent Joseph from going into the dungeon. He didn't prevent him from being sold into slavery. But what does the scripture say? Even when he was in those conditions and those positions, the hand of God was upon him. He says in his word that when we go through the fire, he will be there with us. And when we go through the flood, it will not overcome us because he's right there by our side. So sometimes he's proving us through these struggles, through these trials, through these tribulations. See this gold ring? It doesn't come out of the ground shining like this, right? No. It goes through the fire. It goes through the fire to burn out all the impurities and come out pure. So when God takes us through the fire, it's never meant to destroy us. No. It's meant to prove us by his power that he's right there and he's able to take us through. Because sometimes proving is also part of our preparation. So he's either preventing, preparing, proving, and sometimes he's pushing us through something. You see, sometimes we reach the point where we want to give up. It's too hard. I can't take this anymore, Lord. Why me? I'm at the breaking point. I want to throw in the towel and give up. Then he says, no. Just take one more step. Just say one more prayer. Just read one more verse. Just talk to one more person that will encourage you. Because I know exactly what you're going through. I'm right there with you. I've been through it with you. Push on. Press on. Victory comes for only those that endure to the end. Yes, a lot of times we want to give up. It's not easy sometimes. I'm not before you this morning telling you that it's going to be easy. But just think, it wasn't easy for Jesus either. And he's the Son of God. But by his strength, by his power, we can make it. We can make it, brethren. Let ask the worship team to come up. We can make it. Yes, you may fall down, but don't stay down. The scripture says a righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets up again and toss himself off and keeps moving. Don't stay down. And the last one, he's preventing you, he's preparing you, he's proving you, he's pushing you. And the last one, and the greatest one, is that he's praising himself in everything. You see, the project is really not about you. As much as we like to think that the world revolves around us, it's really not about you, it's really not about me. It's about his plan for his creation. Everything that Joseph went through was prepping him for the place that he would be in a position to deliver God's people and to preserve them for posterity. That was the grand design. We can see that now, but we can't see our own destiny and what God has in plan for us. What we have to do is just realize who he is, rely on him and his loving kindness and his wisdom, and continue to be obedient and continue to press forward. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. Thank you.